Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by my son, Albert Feliciano Jr., affectionately known as AJ. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here's AJ with today's word.
My sermon title is Living Stones and the Parallels of Heaven and Earth. It's going to be awesome. Praise God. I'll share just because I mentioned it. So a couple of weeks ago, the Lord has woken me up and he started giving me this word. And, you know, when I first heard it, I said, you know, what is that? What the living stones? I know it's in 1 Peter, but what does that actually mean? I needed the depth. I was like, Lord, give me revelation. And then he started to show me things. He started to bring me into the supernatural and show me things that I've never seen before. And I was like, how am I going to speak this word to a people? They're going to need to understand as well. It's a word that there's a lot of in-depth study that has to be taken place in order to preach it right and teach it right and make people understand. And I said, Lord, if you want me to preach this word for this house, then you need to make a way. You need to put it out there. I'm not going to ask my dad, hey, dad, I got a word. I want to preach. That's just not me. I don't do that. This pulpit is holy. It's sacred. You don't take it lightly. It's not something that you say, pick me and can I speak this Sunday? No. God sets you apart. If he gives you a word, you just have to obey him. You have to obey the words that he's placed in your heart so you could speak them. This is not a platform. It's not a stage. It's a pulpit. Amen. I don't want to overstep. I'm in my sermon already. But no sooner after that prayer, Sunday, went to church, awesome day. Sunday night, I get a text. This happened on a Friday night, Saturday. I'm contemplating Sunday. It already happened. Sunday, I get a text from the board, and they're saying, hey, we're going to do a pastor appreciation service. And we know that you're filled with the Spirit. We want you to prepare a sermon. Please prepare, pray, seek God, what he wants you to do, and then get back to us. I said, no need to pray, no need to. I said, I already have the word. Put me in the calendar. And it was just awesome. So I know that this word is for this house, and I know that God is going to be speaking tremendously today. Amen. Amen. So the living stones and the parallels of heaven and earth. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10, as is our custom, if we could please stand for the reading of the scriptures. And when you have it, say amen. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10. The chosen stone and his chosen people is what this is titled. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and whoever believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That was in the prayer this morning. Yes. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, yes, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, yes, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. So I need everyone to take your right hand and put it in the air. I need you to grab your left shoulder. Pull it across your torso. Click it in. And turn to your neighbor and say, "We going in." Praise God. Praise God. We ready, church? Jesus Christ, the living stone, precious and chosen by God. See, Jesus was always God plan A, and there is no plan B. See, Jesus came as the Messiah and the King, but he was rejected by his own people, the chosen people, the Jewish people. He was rejected because the Jews thought the Messiah would be king over all and establish his eternal kingdom and have Israel as a preeminent nation to the world and destroy all of evil and all the enemies of God and bring salvation to his people. And praise God, because that is exactly why Jesus came, and that's exactly what he will do. But that's the end of the story, right? We're going to live with Christ forevermore. But when Jesus came, it was during a time when the Roman Empire had their cruel rule over Israel. See, the Jews wanted the Messiah to destroy Rome and establish their kingdom. But Jesus, he came to destroy sin and break the curse of death and establish his kingdom. Jesus came as a servant. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. See, they wanted to be saved because of their circumstance, not because they yearned for the Messiah. Doesn't it sound familiar with us?
Yes.
See, people of God, we want God to save us only when we're going through something. But we don't yearn for his presence Monday through Saturday. We only yearn for his presence on a Sunday morning when it's what we're supposed to do when we're here. Let your praise be a praise, a heart of worship. Not a praise because you're in a room full of people that are praising. The problem is they didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't listen to King David. Prophet Isaiah, when he prophesied in Isaiah 53, right? He was wounded and bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They cast lots for my garments. See, to me, that sounds like a suffering Messiah. And he was prophesied. The Messiah that's coming will suffer. They just wanted the Messiah that they knew about, the King, the one that's going to rule everything. They wanted him there and that time. But he wasn't meant for that time. See, they were so focused on the end goal that they missed the goal, which was the Mashiach, the Messiah. They rejected him because they were disobedient to his word. He became their stumbling block. And Jesus is the stumbling block and the rock of offense to all of those that are disobedient, not only the Jews. See, people that live a lifestyle of sin will never find peace. They will either stumble upon the rock or they'll keep stumbling on the rock. Since the Jews rejected their Messiah, there was a consequence that they had to receive. And that consequence was blindness. It is the word. Scripture says God blinded them. God is the one that blinded them. His chosen people he blinded. Romans 11:7-8. It says, "What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. And the rest were blinded, just as it is written. God has given them a spirit of stupor, wow, eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear to this very day. And this was written long before us, but this very day it's continuing on. But see, I have good news. Because as they were blinded with scales over their eyes, the Gentiles' eyes were opened. And that's us. Praise God for that. And God is so awesome that he used one of their biggest prophets, one of their major prophets, Isaiah, to tell them this. Isaiah 42, 1 through 9. It says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastland shall wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and the spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open up blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Wow. Praise God. See, we receive the gospel of Christ as the Gentiles. We received the Messiah. And we got our eternal inheritance through the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, Lord.
And now we're engrafted into the Abrahamic covenant.
Thank you, Lord.
The gospel is still for the Jew first, though.
Yes.
Romans 1:16. I think we read that last week.
Yes.
So we must still continue to pray for the people of God. Those are God's chosen people. Peace be upon Israel.
Yes.
Never stop praying for the Jews. If you're able to minister to them, do it. God put you in their life for a reason. And especially today, with everything that's going on in Israel, we stand with them. We stand with Israel. See, the church is incomplete without our Jewish brothers. It's incomplete without the Jewish sisters. It's so important. Why do you think the anti-Semitism, that spirit? There's so many people that hate the Jews for no reason. But the reason is because the enemy got them on a stronghold.
Yes.
That racist anti-Semitic spirit, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And there's a lot of Christians. There's Christians that will frown upon the Jews. And they'll treat the Jews like they're the Gentile. Don't forget, you're a Gentile. God came for them. But God is so graceful and he's so merciful that you're engrafted into their covenant. This is crazy. I'm telling you this because I've dealt with people that even the Roman Catholic, and sorry if you come from a Roman Catholic background, Jesus is not Italian. He's a Jew. There's a lot of Roman Catholics that believe Jesus was an Italian. He's not Italian. He's a Jew. He's a man from the Middle East. He's not your skin color. And I'm not saying black Jesus, because that's a lie too. The Rastafarians, I bind you in the name of Jesus too. I got something for you too. Solomon, he has no offspring with Sheba. Maybe he does, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. He's not. It's irrelevant. He's not part of the. That's not part of the covenant. Right? Because he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, King Solomon. So you're telling me that he only has that lineage? He probably has multiple children. But what matters is who led to Christ.
Hey!
See, all those children. That's why Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was born from Hagar. Isaac is the son of promise, though. This is why the Jews and the Muslims are always fighting, because there's a problem with the bloodline. That's what it is. It's the blood. Hallelujah. I'm trying to bear all my thoughts, so just bear with me. There's a lot of information that I'm going to be speaking today. A lot. Please hold on with me.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is the chief cornerstone. There is a powerful significance of the cornerstone. It is the most important stone that's laid when building a structure. The name that is often referred to today amongst construction and amongst tradesmen, the foundation stone. When this particular stone is laid, the rest of the building then can be put together. If this stone is not laid, you cannot build the building. And if you tried, it would be out of whack. See, without the cornerstone, there's no structure. There's no building. There is no foundation. See, Jesus is the foundation of our faith.
Yes, yes.
Jesus is the foundation of truth.
Amen.
Jesus is the foundation of peace. Jesus is the foundation of love.
Yes.
Jesus is the very foundation of heaven.
Wow.
And I'll prove it. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, that's heaven, a stone for its foundation.
Yes.
A tried stone. Who's the tried stone? Jesus. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. And whoever believes will not act hastily. When you read that scripture, even when the Jews read that scripture, how do you believe in a stone that God laid? Because he wasn't talking about an inanimate object. He was talking about his son. Jesus is the foundation, people of God.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus literally, not figuratively, he literally laid his life down for us to be our firm foundation. We as the body of Christ are built upon the rock. Jesus teaches this parable in Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on this house and it had a great fall. Turn to your neighbor and say, build on the strong foundation.
Build on the strong foundation.
Praise God. Amen. We are living stones that are being built up as a spiritual house.
Hallelujah.
A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. The question is, it sounds good, but what is priesthood? What is true priesthood? Because we're included in that, right? He's calling us priest. Priesthood is a lifestyle of sacrificial praise and worship and adoration. To completely deny yourself, to present yourself holy before God. What is a sacrificial praise? The one bringing the sacrifice must have a heart of worship. Or, when you can't praise God for what he has allowed to happen in your life, but you praise him for who he is despite what's happening in your life. And I'll say that for the ones in the back. When you can't praise God for what he has allowed to happen in your life, but you praise him for who he is despite what's happening in your life.
Right.
See, people are so quick to give up, but don't you know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much?
Yes.
whatever struggles, whatever problems you're going through, give it to God. Let him handle the problem. There's so many people that try to figure things out on their own. But God's ways are above our ways. Don't try to figure it out. Just know if your foundation is firm, then you know God got you. The problem is with doing things on your own is because you don't have a foundation to stand on. When you could only rely on self or intellect, you don't have a foundation in Christ. Amen. It is only through Christ that this is even possible. We are holy because Christ is holy.
That's right.
We are righteous because Christ is righteous and he resides in us.
Amen.
Jesus is the living stone and he calls us living stones. We have to be one with Jesus as he is one with the Father in heaven. We are his precious bride. We are the bride of Christ.
Yes.
And this is where I began to ask God, give me wisdom and understanding on what this all means. Why stones? Why are we living stones? What is so significant? And he brought me to Matthew 6:10. And it's part of the Lord's Prayer. But just this little snippet, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I was like, okay, what does that have to do with stones? And God said, let me show you. See, you have to understand, on earth as it is in heaven. You see, on earth, when someone gets sick and they go to church, right? We pray for them. And let's say they get healed. That's a miracle. We know that as a miracle. But see, in heaven, miracles don't exist. They just are. So when heaven touches earth, it's the heaven that touches earth that produces the miracle. You understand how that works? So when heaven touches earth, then things happen, right? There's healing. There's no sickness in heaven. So if heaven touches earth, that means there can't be sickness around it. You understand? Sickness has to die because it's in the presence of God. I don't think you got that. You're not understanding that. When heaven touches earth, then these things happen. Signs and wonders follow those who believe. No one is doing no magic trick. That's the enemy. Magic is the devil. There's too many people. Oh God, give me patience. There's people that, woe to them, because they're almost on the verge of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees were found guilty of this. When Jesus was doing the work, when he was healing, when he was doing miracles, they said he was casting out demons with the power of demons. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That is the unforgivable sin. See, there's people that will see the miracles and they'll see the things that are happening in the church. But because they've never seen these things before, they don't understand what it is. Just like when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, you can't understand where the wind blows, but you want to know spiritual things?
That's right.
Get plugged in. Begin to know who you are in Christ.
Yes.
There's people that they're almost blaspheming the Spirit of God because they don't understand that miracles and healings and signs and wonders still happen. They still exist.
Yes.
We have testimony after testimony. Just the other day, me and my wife, we were driving. And we saw there was a brother, for those that were there in the 3 days to victory, there was a brother that came in. He had crutches, he had a cast, and he says that tomorrow, he said that he had gangrene and that they were going to remove his leg. And I grabbed him, and I said, do you want to be made well? It was 3 a.m. And he just looked at me scared, and I picked him up. I didn't even let him answer. I said, come with me. And we started praying for him, and we casted that spirit of infirmity out, and we said, you will keep that leg. You will not lose that leg. Just the other day, we were driving by. He had no walker. He's walking. I seen him. I was like, wow, look at that. So it's like, praise God. And see, while we're busy, he got healed. And when I saw him, I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Heaven touched earth. Praise God. It's awesome. The Lord began to show me there are many parallels in heaven and on the earth. and they're extremely fascinating. The best way I can kind of relate this is think about logos and rhema. See, when you read the word of God, logos is basically the Greek word for what the scripture says and what it means, and having an understanding for just what it is and what it says. Rhema is the Greek word for a revelation knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives when there's a deeper meaning and when there's a deeper level of understanding. God gives us that rhema, those mysteries, right? The scriptures talk about that there's mysteries in the word. For me, people read that and they say, oh, a mystery, okay, cool, and then they keep reading. No, a mystery needs to be solved.
Yeah.
So as believers, God gave us like that little, here, solve this. I'll tell you all the things. There's everything in the scriptures, the entirety of thy word is truth. Yes. And everything that you want to know about anything is in the word of God.
Yes.
But there's those mysteries, those things that he wants us to put in the work. You won't know the mysteries because you're not studying the word of God. You have to search him out. Exactly.
Yes.
Right? The Old Testament, the New Testament, they all come together. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And you'll have that intimate time with God. And when you get that understanding, you're like, wow. Like, God, that was for me?
Yes.
And then he's like, okay, now go share with someone.
Hallelujah.
See, you learn to teach. Come on now.
Praise God.
See, people want to teach, but they don't got nothing in them. Not everyone can be a pastor, teacher, apostle. Those are offices that are called, but you don't just appoint yourself to those offices. God calls you. God separates you.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that the apostle's better than you, because guess what? Jesus died for him. He died for you.
Right.
We all get into heaven.
Yes.
Don't worry about people's titles.
Amen.
That means nothing to God.
Amen.
Just have that deep, intimate relationship with the Father. And he will show you things that will blow you away.
Yes.
Praise God. So again, I ask you, church, to follow everything that I'm saying. I'm going to be bringing you on a journey that Christ has literally took me these past couple weeks. And there's going to be a lot of information spoken on. And I don't want you to miss any of it. I can't stress that enough. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss any of this. He's serious.
He's serious.
Turn to your other neighbor and said, hey, we're already all the way in. Let's keep going. You with me, church? With me? Praise God. Because what I'm about to speak on, it might make people cringe. But I'm going to paint this picture for you. Follow me, because God showed me something and it's mind-blowing to me. But we got to go to heaven before the fall of Lucifer. This is in Ezekiel 28. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for King Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. Ready for this? This describes Lucifer the way he was. When it starts describing him, it starts at verse 13. 13 means rebellion.
Right.
So follow. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Just listen. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald, with gold, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. It was prepared for you the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. God established him. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. He was perfect till iniquity was found in you. See, iniquity, God didn't create iniquity in him. It was found in him. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. When you think about that, he became filled with violence and filled with sin. Sin was birthed in heaven, in a place where sin cannot exist. That's why God cast him out. That's crazy. See, we struggle with sin every day, but God doesn't want to be around sin at all. And he made him, right? Perfect in beauty, perfect in wisdom, perfect. God, I know that God probably made him beautiful because his very design was to worship God. So God was like, I want to make him perfect because I need a perfect praise. I need a perfect worship.
Hallelujah.
Mm. Till iniquity was found in you. How many people are throwing up praises that have iniquity in them? How many people are worshiping God with iniquity in their heart? This shows me that God casted that out of heaven. And then you want to get mad when a pastor casts you out of church. But that's none of my business. Praise God that pastors don't cast anyone out of church. Praise God. We love all you brothers. Brothers and sisters. Without you, there is no church. We all grow together. Amen. There is no weak link in the church. There is no weak link. God doesn't make anything weak. You understand?
Yes,
we're all our brother's keeper. We're all our sister's keeper. Amen? Let me keep going. So now, we know that Lucifer was made different than all the other angels. He was set apart as a worshiping angel. He was the seal of perfection. He was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. We see that every precious stone was his covering and the instruments were made in him. He was made from the precious stones and the stones were his body. The stones that he was made from are all on the earth today. These precious stones like the emerald, the diamond, the sapphire, the topaz, etc., they were made in heaven first. And then you wonder why. People worship stones. You have witchcraft, New Agers that worship the stones. New Age is from Satan because he's trying to receive your praise from the things he was created from. So when you're praising these stones, when you put these little stones on your windowsill or you put them in front of your door, Christians too. There's people that have stones. Who cares they look pretty? Who cares? But when you are using them for energy or for it's witchcraft, it's of the devil. Satan was made from this. So when you're rubbing your crystals together and when you're asking for energy and all these things, you're giving him praise. You're giving him worship. Get rid of the stones. Like Jesus told the Pharisees to drop the rock. It's time for you to drop the rock. The devil's not slick. I'm going to show you everything. I'm going to show you. Just keep following. God established him as the anointed cherub who covers. He was the only angel in the throne room walking amongst the fiery stones. He was doing exactly what God designed him for. It was to worship until iniquity was found in him, right? It was found in his heart and he was cast out. Lucifer, now Satan, forfeited his entire existence, and he will now pay the consequences of sin and death. And his inheritance is hell and the lake of fire. We have to understand, though, that whatever God creates is perfectly made. It is Satan that perverts everything. Satan has zero creative process. He has to wait for God to create something in order for him to pervert it. He can't create. One thing that has to be made clear. There's a lot of churches, a lot of old school legalistic churches that they'll teach. If you don't use your gift for God, he'll take it away from you. He'll strip it from you. That's not true at all. It's not true. If you are one of those Christians that believe that, I'm going to back it up with evidence, and I'm going to back it up with scripture, because this has been taught and has been like ingrained in the people of God. Romans 11, 29. It says, God's gifts are irrevocable. Do you know what the meaning of irrevocable means? It means that God will not take away the gift that he put in you. Okay? That's in Romans 11, 29. Not AJ. I didn't say that. God said it. So you have to understand, when Satan was cast out of heaven, the music that was in him and the stones he was made from went with him. He still has them. He still walks around as the perfectly wisdom, beauty angel that walks around. He's not the devil with the pitchfork, and he's not the ugly faced demon. No, he walks around as an angel. He's a fallen angel. Why do you think he was able to deceive Eve so easily? Right? In the scripture, I'm not going to go because I don't want to go on a bunny trail. But it says when Satan was cursed in the garden, it says, and on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust the rest of your days, right? If he was a serpent, shouldn't he have already been on his belly?
Right.
That's because the word serpent in Genesis, it meant deceiver. It meant a person that is a liar, right? Not a literal snake on a tree.
Right.
On your belly you shall go. That means he was an archangel when he was walking around the garden.
Right.
He was cast out. It says that you were in the Garden of Eden. It says you were in the garden. He was walking around, and he looked like an angel of light. God is not impressed with the gift that he designed in you. He made it so you can design praises for him.
Hallelujah.
You understand that? He's not impressed with what he designed in you. He gave it to you.
That's right.
He made it so you can design precious worship for him.
Hallelujah.
That's why you're gifted. That's why. It's to give God praise. What are you gonna create for him? Because guess what? The devil doesn't have no creative process, but we do. We're a lesser being. We have a creative process. Isn't there parents in here? You create children. Your words can tell the mountain to throw itself in the ocean.
Yes.
Not even the angels have that authority.
Wow. Uh-huh.
The angels have to ask God, do you want me to do that? No? Okay. Holy, holy. Step right back in line. But for us, we could tell that mountain to move. You have to understand the power that you carry, and it has to obey. Come on now. That's a word right there. Give God everything. With whatever gift you have, give it to him. Design something for him. Create something for him. Thank him for creating you so you can create for him. Get that in your spirit. Get that in your spirit. This is why music ministers, you have to guard your testimony with fear and trembling. The ministers of songs, ministers of music. See, the enemy hates God and does not want you using your gift for him. So he will bring every distraction from hell to take you out. Be very careful, minstrels. I'm speaking to all musicians. Why? Because I'm a musician. So that's why I feel like this is important. Do not compromise your gift for the world. One thing that I began to notice, and this is pretty fascinating. A lot of pastors, a lot of ministers are gifted in music. You notice that? Look at other churches. Our pastor plays piano. The pastor's wife sings. The pastor's son drums. The pastoral families are gifted in music. Pastor's daughter sing. There's music that's gifted by God for ministers. Why? Because you can minister with music. Sometimes you don't even have to speak words. You could just play music. You could teach and preach with your gift of music. Music breaks bondages. It breaks yokes. It ushers in the Spirit of God. Music is a strong force in the world. Music was made for worship. And music's existence was to worship God.
That's
Think
right.
about that. Because
yes.
people say, oh, what should I listen to? You know, I struggle because I love, you know, I love my old school. I love, if it doesn't glorify God, then maybe you shouldn't listen to it. Because when you listen to that stuff, all it's doing is glorifying yourself. And you see where Satan puts his hand in there?
Yes.
Compromise. As I mentioned, music is so strong that it can cast out demons.
That's right.
David played his harp for the king. And the demons fled him. And that was, think about this. This was before you said, I cast you out in Jesus' name. There was no exorcism and exorcising demons. No, he just played his gift. Why? Because it was to glorify God. And demons can't be in a presence where God is ushered in. And when God is ushered in, then demons have to leave. You understand how that works? And this is why music is so attacked by the enemy. If you think about it, what is the biggest attack on music? Pride. People playing better than one another, playing better. Oh, I could play better than you.
Wow.
Oh, they should pick me because I'm hot. Or I play this. You know, I don't play with y'all guys because y'all whack. I play with better seasoned musicians. We're not playing for you, bro. We're not playing for you, sis. I don't care how good your voice is.
Come on.
Pride. It's what got Lucifer cast out of heaven. And see, that pride monster, there's a name for its spirit. And its spirit's name is the Luciferian spirit. And that's what got Lucifer cast out of heaven.
That's it.
See, that spirit tries to creep in on the pulpit and perform and receive the glory that was meant for God. They will receive it. And there's many of us in the church, we'll see a musician playing skillfully. And instead of, you know, going to the musician, you know, there's a lot of people, and I know you mean well. But when you tell musicians, oh man, you play so amazing, the musician has to fight against that flesh pride that wants to. So me, I've just learned all glory to God. All glory to God. Of course my spirit, my flesh wants to be like, yeah, yeah, like I'm a man. Like that was good. Yeah, like God showed up today. No, you showed up, bro. So be careful when you're complimenting musicians, especially in the house of God.
Right.
Say, you know what? The way you play today, I know God received that praise. Amen. I know God was glorified. Because the way that you played, he gifted that to you.
Amen.
To give him praise. Amen.
Amen.
And praise God. Then the pride is can't exist. Can't exist.
Amen.
That's not even in my notes. The reason that I exist, right? We heard that song today. It's a beautiful song. And as I listened to that song, I said, the reason that I exist is to worship. My drums are anointed and they're set apart to break strongholds, not be a part of them. I'll say that again. My drums was gifted to me. That skill was it was anointed in me and set apart to break strongholds, not be a part of them.
Amen.
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 Amen. I'm made to glorify God.
Yes.
I got time? God reminds me about the Levites because they were gifted in music. They were set apart by God to be priests and ministers of music. They would have to be trained in music for 30 years before they were even allowed to minister in the temple. Think about it. Jesus started his ministry at 30.
Yeah.
There's a parallel of heaven and earth there.
Yes.
And the parallels are going to start making a lot of sense in a moment, I promise. I have to paint this picture so you can understand. As I stated, God makes everything perfect. And I know that God always vindicates. Vindication, the definition, is the clearing of someone to be shown in the right, to be found blameless before God. Satan will never be vindicated. He is unforgiven. But his role and what he was designed to do in worship and in heaven and as a ministering angel will now be taken over through a lesser being, the human race. God will vindicate his perfect design for the lesser being. So, right, his gifts aren't taken away, but his design belongs to him. The scripture says in Psalm 8, 3 through 9, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beast of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So let's look at the Levitical priest's role. First off, God chose the Levites to be his priest, to teach the law. Moses is from the tribe of Levi. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and which is God's perfect law. God told Moses to appoint Aaron and his sons to be priests, to train them up in priesthood. He gave Moses strict instructions to follow to build the tabernacle in Exodus 25. There's an outer courts, the inner courts, the veil of flesh, which is the veil of leather, and the holies of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, which the Spirit of God dwelt. The Levites were the only people allowed in the holies of holies because they were the priests of God and they were set apart. In Exodus 28 is where God instructed how to make priestly garments. Holy garments for the glory and beauty that are consecrated for priesthood and to make a breastplate with an ephod so that they may be ministers as priests. The priest wore these garments and they were designed by gifted artisans. And God filled those artisans with wisdom. It says it in Exodus 28:3. The ephod and the breastplate. It's a little lengthy, but I'm going to read it. Exodus 28:6-21. And they shall make the ephod of blue, purple, scarlet thread and the fine woven linen, artistically worked. It shall have two shoulder straps joined at its two edges, and so it shall be joined together. And the intricately woven bond of the ephod, which is on it, shall be on the same workmanship made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. Then you shall take two onyx stones and engrave them the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names on the stone and six of the names on the other stone, in order by birth. With the work of the engravers in the stone, like the engraving of a signet, you shall engrave the two stones which names of the sons of Israel, you shall set them in the setting of gold. And you shall put the two stones on the shoulders and on the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. You shall also make settings of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cords, and fasten the braided chains together. Now the breastplate, you shall make the breastplate of judgment, artistically woven, according to the workmanship of the ephod, you shall make it, gold, blue, purple, and a scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. You shall make it, it shall be doubled in a square, and a span shall be its length. A span shall be its width, and you shall put settings of stones in them, four rows of stones. The first shall be the sardis, the topaz, the emerald. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be the turquoise, the sapphire, the diamond. The third row shall be the jacinth, the agate, and the amethyst. And the fourth row, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. They shall be set in gold settings, and the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Each one of its own names shall be according to the 12 tribes.
Yes. Yes.
That was a lot.
Yes, so good.
But now here it comes.
Yay.
Here are the parallels side by side of how God vindicated his perfect design through his people, the priest of God. Lucifer was the only angel to be in the throne room of God. He failed. The Levite priests were the only ones allowed in the holies of holies, vindicated.
Yes.
Lucifer was the worshiping angel and the instruments were in him. He failed. The Levite priests were all trained musicians to worship God through instrument and song, vindicated.
Yes.
Lucifer was a ministering angel to God, failed. Levitical priests were ministers of God's word, vindicated.
Yes.
Lucifer was made of the stones. They were his covering, failed. The Levites wore the stones upon the ephod, vindicated.
Yes.
They're the very same stones that the Levites wore on the ephod were the same stones that Lucifer was made from.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Check this out. You can take side by side. Exodus 28 is where the priestly garb is made. Ezekiel 28 is where... Oh my goodness. Side by side, the way that God created his ministering angel is how he created his priest. You have to know how powerful that is. God said, I could do more with less and make them the same way. Wow. I hope you got that. And that's why I'm so serious about music. So serious about pastors preaching an uncompromised word.
Yes.
God has a specific plan in your life.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
My God.
Wow. And now finally, while Lucifer was in the throne room, instead of reflecting God's glory in heaven, he wanted to receive God's glory.
That's right.
He failed. When the Levite priest would enter into the holies of holies in the tabernacle, the purpose of the ephod was God's glory will shine upon the stone, reflect his glory. It would reflect his glory, and the scribes would write down what God was saying through the stones. And look at this. And if they did not come into the holies of holies correct, guess what God did to them? He killed them. Guess why? Because there's no room for pride anymore.
No more.
If he didn't want it in heaven, he definitely don't want it here. Especially if he made you a perfect way. Wow. I hope you're catching this.
Yes.
Vindicated. Amen. So we see that God spoke through the stones. God's glory reflects through the stones. So now that you have an understanding of God's perfect design,
thank you, Abba.
Now you can be prepared to receive.
That's right.
Jesus even said in Luke 19:40, the disciples were given a shout of praise and the Pharisees wanted him to rebuke his disciples and tell them to be quiet. But Jesus said, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. That's because they did. Wow. That's because they did. They were once God's mouthpiece.
That's right.
The stones were God's mouthpiece.
Wow.
Wow.
God spoke to his people through the stones of the ephod.
Yes, he did.
God's brightness would reflect off the stone. The high priest would receive the word and share with the people of God. So now your question is, what does this have to do with me? And I'm so glad you asked that question. You, as living stones, are God's mouthpiece now. The stones can stay quiet because we are living stones. If you are a living stone, is your life reflecting Christ? Are you reflecting God's brightness and glory as a living stone?
Glory to God.
Can God see his reflection in you?
Yes, Lord.
Is God shining his glorious light on you and telling you to speak a word and you're silent like the rocks? Don't let the rocks steal your praise this morning. So many people want breakthrough in their life but are silent. You have to praise through the storm. We, the living stones, are individually being used to build up Christ's church.
Right.
How important are you to God's holy structure?
Wow.
Are you firm on the foundation of the chief cornerstone? Jesus said he will build up his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Matthew 16, 18 through 19. This is where Peter confessed as Jesus as Christ. And he says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven, right? Continues on verse 18. It says, and I also say to you that you are Peter. In this word, in the Greek, Peter's name is Petros, which means rock.
Yes.
And on this rock I will build my church.
Yes.
Build my church. You see that? And
yes.
The gates of Hades shall not prevail
yes.
against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, those are parallels of heaven and earth. Whatever happens on the earth, miracles, healing, and all that is through heaven. And it's by us carrying heaven, us carrying the kingdom of God. Know that in Christ we are a chosen generation to do greater exploits for the kingdom of God. Jesus said it. We are carriers of the kingdom, and those that are baptized by Holy Spirit fire carry that power. There's so many Christians that lack this. They got their water baptism, but they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You're going to lack power. Right, Acts 1:8.
Yes.
You receive power. My brothers and sisters, as living stones, we know that we are being built up as a spiritual house.
Right.
So when God shines his light upon us as living stones, now that we know this, how can we continue to reflect God in everything that we do?
Amen.
We should never even think of receiving God's glory. God will share his glory with no man. We read earlier in Isaiah 42. And as living stones, our very body is designed off the temple.
Yes, Lord.
Each one of us is a rock for God's spiritual house.
Amen.
John 2, Jesus referred to his body as the temple. The tabernacle that Moses was instructed to build. Look at this awesome parallel. The outer court in Hebrew, it's called Derech, which means the way. The inner courts in Hebrew is emet, which means the truth. The holies of holies is called chayim, which means life. So when Moses was instructed to build the tabernacle, the parallel was on earth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way to get to the Father but through me. Salvation only comes through Christ. No other can save you. But I want you to see something. In between the inner court and the holies of holies was the veil of flesh.
Right.
It was torn when Jesus died and resurrected.
Right.
Glory to God.
Yes, Lord.
There is no need for priests to speak on the behalf of God to his people any longer. There's a lot of Catholics that they'll go to what they call their father. Jesus said, don't call any man father, but God. Man can't forgive you. Man can't intercede on your behalf for forgiveness.
Right.
We can intercede for each other with prayers, but a man can't forgive. Only Jesus can.
Only Jesus.
Now we have complete access to the Father, and he will be our teacher through the Holy Spirit. And if you think of the parallel of how our bodies are the temple of the living God, we have an outer court. That's our appearance. What do we look like? Right? Aren't we the stones that build up the spiritual house? The inner court which is our soul. And God showed me something. When God went in to the temple, what were they doing in the inner courts? They were selling. They were selling and sin. There's many that people that are selling their inner court. They're selling their soul. If we're a reflection of the temple, our outer courts is our appearance. Our inner court is our soul. And they're selling. They're selling it. Jesus said, you made my father's house a den of thieves. People are selling their souls for money. Then you have the veil of flesh, which on us is our heart. The once hardened stone that God broke up. And there you have the holies of holies, where the Spirit dwells in our heart. Psalm 51, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. God wants to dwell in your hearts today. Think of how awesome God is and how he could be anywhere at any time. He's omnipresent, but he chooses. His desire is to be in you, in your heart. The same place where in Jeremiah 17:9 it says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? And that's where God wants to be. Oh, how special we are to God. God wants our whole heart. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants to sit upon the throne of our very heart. He broke the flesh so he can sit in his home.
Amen.
Coming to my first close. I'm moving. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Praise God.
Awesome.
There was a new need for priesthood. Because now, the priests, they were no longer needed, right? So there was a new need for priesthood. The Levite priest, you know why they failed? Because, right, they were vindicated. You know why they failed? Because they rejected the priest. They rejected the high priest, the Messiah. So that's where they failed. So there was a new need for priesthood. Jesus came and lived a sinless life and became the ransom for sin and taught what it is to be a true priest, a king. Hebrews 7, 11 through 28. It's titled, Need for a New Priesthood. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, pay attention, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according in the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law.
Right.
For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated an altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah,
yes,
of which tribe Moses spoke nothing about concerning priesthood. And it is yet more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandments, because of its weakness and its unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Greatness of the new priest. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and he will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he continues forever and has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once and for all, and offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which come after the law, appoints the Son, who had been perfected forever.
Yeah.
Now, I can't go too much in Melchizedek. It will be another hour or so, so I'll spare you that for the next sermon. But just a quick shout out to my Joshua Chai people. They already know what's up. But Melchizedek, there's a couple points that I have to state. Melchizedek is a Hebrew name. It means king of righteousness.
Yeah.
Makil is king, Zedek is of righteousness. It also means king of peace. Isn't Jesus the Prince of Peace? Melchizedek is a theophany. The best way I can describe this so you can understand is he is God in a glorified body on earth before Jesus. I know that's a little hard to hear because some people go, what is that? Read it in Hebrew. It's called like a theophany in like English is a type Jesus. Jesus always was, but Jesus's flesh, which is the Son of God, had to enter through the realm of time. So the flesh is the Son of God. But when God appeared to man in the Old Testament before Jesus's time on earth, it was a theophany. Just as we see with the Hebrew boys that, you know, a Christophany. We see that there was an angel of the Lord with the Hebrew boys. There was an extra person. Jacob wrestled God. How do you wrestle a spirit? You have to wrestle a man. So when God came as a man before Jesus' time, that's what Melchizedek is. Okay? It's a lot. Because even when I first got this stuff, I was like, what? Like, and it should concern you too when you see that Jesus came from the order of Melchizedek. Who's Melchizedek? You know, so that's why you have to get that in-depth study. Jesus, which is God, comes to earth through the virgin birth, entering time through earthly flesh to fulfill prophecy. Jesus always was and always will be. He was always there, even in the beginning. But there is no beginning. God always was. He always existed. It's just when he came to the earth realm, that's when we see Jesus. Reasons why you need to understand this mystery is in Hebrew, it says that our Lord is a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is actually only mentioned three times in the entirety of the word. Three, right? Perfect completion. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's mentioned in Genesis 14, where Abraham met him. And Abraham actually tithed to him. And he made a covenant with Abraham. And guess how he made that covenant? With bread and wine. Parallel. Psalm 110, where King David prophesied about the Messiah coming through the order of Melchizedek. And then Hebrews 7, which describe who Melchizedek is and what Jesus' role was according to his order.
Yes,
Jesus became the surety of a better covenant. Jesus has an unending priesthood because he continues forever. He's alive. And he is able to save all those that come through him. And now we have the right to be called children of God. John 1:12, right? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Only those that believe are children of God, people. Not everyone is a child of God. You have an opportunity to be one. You have the chance to be one. But it's only when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, then you will become his child. And because we believe in that precious name, we are his and he is ours. Let today be your day of salvation. This is my official close. 1 Peter 2:9 through 10, to close it all out. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God wants you today to be his living stones.
Amen.
He wants you to reflect his glory in everything that you do. He wants you to understand how important you are as living stones that is meant for building up his kingdom. We are living stones of the church that Jesus promised to build, Matthew 16, 18. As living stones, we have new life in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. As integral parts of the building of God, we have security in Christ, John 6, 37. We have a blessed assurance, and we are part of a kingdom, his kingdom, and we will reign forever.
Amen.
With Christ. That's in Revelation 3:21. As the master builder, God places his living stones just where he wants us to be.
Thank you. 1
Corinthians 12:18. As living stones, we are connected to one another as the body of Christ. Romans 12:5. Our Lord is the foundation stone, and he lives forevermore. He will never crumble. And as long as we're built upon the rock, then we will last forever with him. He will be our support. He will be our rear guard. God got us. But do you have him? Build today on the foundation of Christ. Forget about all the old, all the things that you thought sustained you. Get rid of those things. Know that you are a living stone and you're part of God's precious house. And we will reign forever with the Lord. God bless you today.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you have been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning very soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.